wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Kia ora, Alan.
Hi, Millie. If this weather is climate change, then I'm against it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It
totally.
Sucks.
Yeah. We're not climate change fans over here.
Anyway, we need to get into it because I hear you've got this big interview coming on later in the show, so we need to be quick.
We're stacked.
Today. Absolutely.
Quick fire science.
Okay, Story number one. We're going to talk about women in space.
I love this
one. My favourite topic.
Okay, when are we going to Mars, folks? That's the big question.
10 years?
Yeah, well, we don't know. We've already put a man, and I mean man, on the moon. Okay. Mm. In fact, how many? About 12, I think. 10
so
or 12.
Many.
But who's going to be the first person on Mars? Well, there's a bunch of researchers over at the European Space Agency in Germany, and they have come to the conclusion that it should be the first woman on Mars. That would make a lot more sense. A lot more practical. Uh-oh.
Why would that happen? Oh, we got
the
some
emergency. That's the emergency.
All right, we have an emergency civil alert.
Wayne Brown's on the job today.
Actually, I heard he's in Sydney.
Oh, no.
On holiday.
Well, whoever's job it is to push a button, well done for waking up.
Okay, so back to the important stuff. Okay, so women on Mars. So these people over in Germany, they did a study, and basically what they were doing, they were comparing a crew of 4 females versus a crew of 4 males in terms of things like requirements for food, requirements for water, energy expenditure, O2 consumption, CO2 production, and metabolic heat production. Now, all of these sorts of things that you just don't think about that go into a big long space journey, because if and when we go to Mars, it's going to be a good couple of years, probably. So it'll take about 7, 8, 9 months to get there, very probably. And then you sort of have to wait until the planets are in alignment again before you come home. Otherwise, you'll be on opposite sides of the sun and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things you need to think about. It's very, very important. And so, as I say, what they did, they assumed a 1,080-day mission to the ISS, to the International Space Station, just, you know, for starters anyway. And now it costs, I've forgotten the exact number, but maybe, it's like $90,000 a kilogram or something to get stuff up to the International Space Station.
Wow.
And so straight away, women eat less than men. So over 1,080 days, you are going to save 1,695 kilograms, 1.6 tons of food less for women than for men, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's going to save, straight away, $158 million, okay? And, you know, people are keen on saving money, NASA and all of that, so that's going to be good from just the financial side of things alone. Also, that 1.6 tons of food is going to take up 2.3 cubic meters.
Wow.
And that's a lot of space on a space station or a rocket that's going to Mars. So, you know, every little bit of space that you can save is going to be good. What else? Okay, so in terms of energy expenditure, so energy expenditure is going to be anywhere from 11 to 41% less in females, okay, than in males. Also, again, it's going to take a long time there. It's going to be, you know, as I say, a good couple of years. So you're going to have a good couple of years in microgravity. And what we have learned about microgravity from people, you know, who've been going around the Earth for, you know, like a year or something ridiculous. I've forgotten what the record is, but they find that their body sort of wastes away a little bit. And so they've got to do all of these, gym stuff and everything. And they've got to keep their muscles going because their muscles will atrophy. They, in fact, have bone loss as well. So they're losing some of their bone. Yeah, I know. It's not good. And they get a reduced aerobic capacity. So they need to exercise.
Spacer size.
Spacer. Love it. Love it. Spacer size. I love patent that. That's good. That's good.
Trademark. Head it here first.
And so when you're exercising a lot, obviously you're then generating a lot of heat, you're generating sweat, you're generating water, all of that sort of stuff that you have to get rid of or at least find a use for. Okay. So if women are going to be much more efficient in these exercises, which they are, okay, compared to large males, they lose 29% less water than a larger male. Okay, and again, that's going to add up to be substantial over a period of, you know, basically 2 or 3 years. So, finally, dare I say it, the average woman is smaller than the average guy. They can fit into a smaller space. So it's more efficient use of space. So it really does look as though it would be extremely sensible to send an all-female crew to Mars for all of those reasons.
Well, and here on the All-Female Tuesday Wire, we support this, Alan. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a fascinating study. And
so fascinating.
They really do need to take note of this. It just, it's once it's pointed out, it's blindingly obvious.
It's so amazing what little tweaks matter in space, you know.
Oh,
every bolt and screw has to be in place.
Oh, does it what? Because you're a long way from help. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go. Send the Tuesday Wire up to space. We'll do some reporting up there. What else have you got for us today?
Okay, we have got a really interesting story again from Germany via Russia. And this is all about artifacts, ancient artifacts. So we know all about the incredible things that DNA can do or that we can do with DNA. And what would be really cool to do, what we often find by themselves are sort of, you know, bits of bone, stone, teeth, artifacts, those sorts of things that sort of prove that people were wearing jewellery, you know, 10, 20,000 years ago. Okay, so wouldn't it be nice to know something about the people who were wearing that jewelry?
I'd love to know them.
Absolutely. So you might think, well, okay, so how would we go about doing that? Well, the people who are wearing the jewelry must have touched it, or the people who made the jewelry must have touched it. So maybe we can get some traces of DNA from that. Trouble is, when people go out in their archaeological digs and stuff like that, and their little brushes and blah 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 blah, they tend to contaminate sites no matter, well, not no matter how careful they are, but, you know, even being reasonably careful, it's pretty much impossible to stop the transfer of modern day DNA from the excavators and stuff like that onto these things. However, some researchers got lucky in 2019 because they went to this cave in Russia called the Denisova Cave. And they found a pendant made of a deer tooth, okay? And they were extremely careful about how they then went about collecting this. And then the other thing was that, and so they were sort of operating under the assumption that, yes, maybe we could get some DNA off this, we could find out who the owner of this was, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important to be able also to extract the DNA without hurting the sample because, you know, this is a God knows how old thing. We don't want to hurt it. We don't want to use a destructive technique. So they developed a technique where essentially what they did is just basically wash it with 90 degree water with a bit of phosphate in there.
Oh, wow.
And that gets out the human DNA and it also gets out the deer DNA because obviously it's a deer tooth. So you've got DNA from the deer.
I was assuming it wasn't a deer's necklace.
That's probably a reasonable assumption, I'd say.
Quite macabre.
Okay, so they got the deer DNA and they identified that as being a wapiti, which we certainly have in New Zealand. They were introduced way back whenever.
Wow.
And I always thought wapiti was a Maori word.
Me too.
I have to say, but it's, yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool.
There you go.
So you learn something every day. Hey, it's, you know, dear science, folks. We're all learning. But the most interesting thing was that they managed to get uncontaminated human DNA off this pendant. And essentially from analysis of the DNA, they were then able to date the pendant to around about 19 to 25,000 years old, okay? Somewhere there or thereabouts. Now, normally you'd use carbon dating for that. But carbon dating is usually destructive, So therefore, they found another way of basically doing this. And so what they found was that this deer pendant belonged to or was made by a woman, okay? And again, roughly about 19,000 to 25,000 years ago. And again, from her DNA, they could show that she was related to previously discovered ancient humans from eastern Siberia, okay? So there's a definite sort of link there. And, you know, this is pretty cool stuff that basically they can say, right, you know, this pendant, this artifact, this piece of jewellery belonged to da-da. Okay.
That's so fascinating.
And so now that they have shown that this is viable, then, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that is probably still on the ground that people might take a little bit more care of now when they are excavating, trying not to get it... goodness. Trying not to get it contaminated with modern DNA, et cetera, et cetera. And then we can really look back at this, you know, at these 20,000-year-old humans, essentially, through their DNA. And, you know, who could even conceive that 20,000 years ago that somebody would be looking at your pendant and saying, yep, you were the owner, you know, this is your DNA. I think it's incredible. Mm. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, fabulous, fabulous stuff. So
great research. Yeah. And also we could maybe, like, figure out what she looks like potentially. She do have whole DNA.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we could clone her.
That'd be cool. She sounds like she had good taste. Well, thank you so much, Alan.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Millie and Beth.
Always a pleasure. Alan. And stay warm and dry out there. It is bleak.
Yeah, it's not good.
So thanks, Alan, MoTap, and science.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MoTap, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.